I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Good morning, weary shoppers and sandbaggers. How are we all doing? And that was never more true than this morning. It doesn't matter if you're flooded out or not. And if you're visiting, I'll tell you, it's nice to have you high and dry and home for the holy days. I'm Bruce. I'll be your server. I threw out the sermon on Thursday because I can't get up and do a happy Christmas sermon. It was like, no, today we're talking about Clausmas and Christmas and catastrophes and true comfort. And so we're just going to take a breath, because all scripture is God breathed, and we're going to try to rest in the midst of the chaos, because I will tell you, I personally was in the midst of the busyness of shopping and wrapping and stringing lights when someone actually reminded me. I was reminded of the dangers of what I have called Clausmas. And the next thing I knew, I was waterproofing and furniture stacking and evacuating my Christmas lit house, which is that right there after the waters receded, because of the dangers of what I call drowning. This is a second. Oh, is this not the latest? Okay, let's see. I just wanted to point out, follow me here, I'll do my best. Char took this picture, and it is after the waters receded, and I call it reflecting in the flood. And that is exactly what we're going to do today. So, have you got your wrapping done? Not your gifts. No, not your gifts. Your mind and heart. Because I'll tell you right now, we quickly get wrapped up, right? In all the frenzy and the flurry and the fatigue. And how about your bagging? Not your sandbagging. You're begging, as in pleading with God as the rains fall and the rivers rise. Well, take a breath and just remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us resent and be mad in it. Oh, wait. Not a scripture. Not a scripture. Though it's easy to live as though it is. But this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us who trust do our best to rejoice and be glad in spite of it. Not a suggestion. Though it's easy to live as though it is. But it isn't. For we walk by sight, not by faith. Oops, I did. Oh, I got that backwards, didn't I? Yep, got that a bit backwards. But I sure hope you don't. Sure hope you don't, because we're getting hit from both sides this Christmas. You know? By the pull of Clausmas, and now the pain of catastrophe. But I'll tell you right now, the Lord, this is never more true, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. And the Lord is enthroned as king forever. Because according to Psalm 22:3, he's enthroned in praise. Was he enthroned in the flood at your house? He's enthroned in praise. And that's how. And thereby the Lord gives strength to his people. And the Lord blesses his people. This is how he blesses his people with peace. But that peace comes with a price tag of faith and trust and obedience. We just went over this, my last message. This is what we went over, Paul's letter to Lydia, the textile lady. Remember, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Well, this was the test. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And see, and if you know he's heard you and you trust him, well, then the peace of God, which transcends, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds from chlasmas and catastrophes in Christ Jesus. So why does his peace surpass all understanding? Because he does. He does. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably, some versions say infinitely more than all that we can ask or, you know, even imagine. You should just really hang everything on this verse right here. Be glory to that guy, to that God. I shouldn't say guy. To that God. That God gets glory in Christ Jesus. And if you trust that, I mean really actually trust that. And not only that, but you regularly pause to remind yourself that you trust that, you'll have that peace of mind and heart that can only come from trusting in an all-loving, all-powerful, all-purposeful plan that's beyond our ability to understand. And somebody will say, I can't trust something I can't understand. Then you can't have the peace that surpasses understanding. God says, if only you'd paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. But there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And I will comfort you. But those who refuse to trust that he's unimaginably purposeful, well, they're kind of stuck. They're stuck thinking that he must not be either loving enough or powerful enough to stop our suffering. But that's dumb. That's like thinking that someone could design and build a house from scratch, but then not be able to change the light bulbs. Right? Catastrophes force us to consider God's plan and our purpose. But this isn't about that. But boy, they sure do that, especially at Christmas. I loved your Noah's message last Sunday on ungrinching, right? His ungrinching message. And it reminded me, Chuck Jones, the animator of the original Grinch, once famously said, everybody hates Christmas a little. Such a funny line. But you see, here's the problem. He's confusing Christmas with something else entirely. You know, after Christmas, most people are going to ask you, what'd you get? What'd you get? I'm going to ask, what'd you celebrate? Or should I say, most celebrate? What did you celebrate most? Because for believers, and you know this, two simultaneous celebrations occur. That's such a weird picture. But this is what we do, right? Two simultaneous celebrations. One sacred, one secular. And we've created an incredibly odd, yet charming fusion, and therefore often confusion, of the two. So, what are you most focused on this day that the Lord has made? Christmas, chlasmas, or catastrophes? Now, I have to say, I love chlasmas. You know, chlasmas, twinkle lights, evergreens, Bing Crosby, ugly sweaters. I don't know why I gestured at you. Ugly sweaters, because you've won that contest a couple times. Sugar cookies, it just adds. We all know this. It adds a ton of fun and festivity to the reason for the season. But it is precisely because chlasmas is such a significant part of Christmas that we as believers we gotta just chill and be still and know that I am God, he says. Literally, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still and put your trust in the Lord. You know, and say, Lord, in the midst of the lights of Christmas, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Because you have put gladness of the eternal in my heart. More than in the season, you know, the temporary season, that their grain and wine, that just means the earthly securities and pleasures increased. Therefore, I will both lie down in my bed in peace with gladness in my heart and trust in you and sleep. And sleep soundly. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Come hell or high water, as they say, this side of the veil or that side. It's not that God's against common fun. He sure isn't. He's the one who commanded 7 annual feasts and only 1 fast for Israel. But his concern is when they have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Just read that line with me, please. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. That's his only problem. And it's a good problem. I mean, that's his problem because he loves us. And because of that, they have disregarded my Sabbaths. You know, those be still and rests. The resting. So that as a result here, I'm profaned, he says, as in polluted or diluted or dishonored among them. But you ever say to yourself something like, and maybe you don't say it out loud, but you say, oh, Christmas already? I'm still recovering from last year. Did you see? You're thinking of Clausmas. You're not thinking of Christmas, right? You're thinking of Clausmas, because Clausmas is typified by clogged malls and backed up traffic and piles of packages and irritable crowds. While Christmas is characterized by soothing stillness spent with our Savior and shared with a true Christmas who, the ones we love, who love the Lord. But it's just so easy to let that stillness get swept away in rising rivers, mandatory evacuations, and a secular tsunami of snowmen and reindeer and elves. Until it seems as if the only one saving anything at Christmas is some guy named Ernest. But that's Clausmas for you. Right? So we, you and me, we gotta be earnest and deliberate about making a distinction between the holy and the common. Cousin, you gotta love this verse. An ox knows its owner, even a donkey its master's manger. But my people, says the Lord, my people do not understand. Why? Because they've abandoned the Lord. They've turned away from him. But not us. Not us. Say amen.
Amen.
You and me, we are deliberate about teaching our kids to discern the difference. Exhibit A, right here today. Because Clausmas is about the mall. And the mall is about sweaters and trinkets and toys. Whereas Christmas is about the manger. And you gotta love that picture. Because it really gets to your heart when you really realize how he came. And the manger is about the miraculous gift of God. 2 ways there, as in from God, gift of God, and was God, gift of God. And Christ came to bear our sin and free us from guilt and shame. Whereas, jolly as he is, Claus comes bearing guilt with a famous clause. You gotta be good enough to get on his list. Right? Oh, what a guilt-ridden clause. But God's free gift is to one and all, by his grace, through our faith, in the loving presence of the gift himself. So come what may, it is still Christ's day. Because at its core, it's still the time that we adore God's only Son, love's purest light, who came into the heart of darkness on a strategic suicide mission to free us from sin, to save us from death, to make a way to carry us home. Remember when Jesus said, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, well, they're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came and the torrent struck that house, couldn't shake it. But what I want you to notice here is that the flood came. He doesn't say, he's like the one the flood just goes around. No, the flood came and the torrent struck that house. The promise is, couldn't shake it. But the flood comes and it strikes your house. Because to fully know the worth of your anchor, God knows you got to face your fears and go through the storms. You know? I've told you these things, Jesus said. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You choose. Because I tell you, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. I mean, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who truly believes and trusts that Jesus is the Son of God? No one. No one. And so, you and I, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So you see, sometimes he calms the storm. But then sometimes he calms the soul. And guess which one has far more eternal value? But either way, I tell you this, the storms reveal, mostly to ourselves, our chosen foundation. Because peace isn't found in the absence of pain, but in the presence of Christ, the Prince of Peace. Every storm tests what we've built and provides us with a moment to see to what degree we actually, really, truly trust the Lord by the peace that we experience in the midst of the chaos. Therefore, let everything that has breath complain this Christmas. Not a scripture. Let's not act like it is. In fact, let's do the Polar Express opposite. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In the midst of chiasmus and in spite of catastrophes. You know, you think about little Lord Jesus. That little Lord Jesus received his first gifts here on earth. That very first Christmas. Mary gave her trust. And Joseph, you know, he wasn't for it at first. Joseph gave his obedience. And then you got the shepherds. Shepherds gave their testimony. And the wise men, they gave their time and their treasures and true worship. And you know what? Jesus never outgrew those gifts. They're still his favorites. Still exactly what he desires and deserves most from us. Stillness. Or you could just conform to the pattern of this world and do not be transformed. And let your hearts be troubled and be afraid. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, you're a chump. Not scriptures. Not scriptures. So don't act like they are. How hollow. I was really nervous about doing this. How hollow the holiday without hope. You know, filled with festivity without the one substantial, meaningful, eternal centerpiece to aim it at and focus it on and build it around. And how crushing the catastrophe without Christ. As Paul puts it, God made his light shine in our hearts to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And so here we go. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, right? And yes, we are often perplexed, but not in despair. Because we know that he does immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine. And in the midst of the chaos, we're here together praising him. Go team. Good job, you. Right? Because rivers rise and rivers recede, and Clausmas comes but once a year and it fades fast. But come hell or high water, this I call to mind, you know, when I lie still and recall the trust I have in the one in my heart, and therefore I have hope. Here it is, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His presence is 24/7, 365. And his mercies never come to an end. In fact, they are new, not just Christmas morning, but every morning. Now, that's a scripture. So don't allow the urgent to drown out the deeply significant, especially at Christmas and in the midst of catastrophes, because chaos is a choice. But if you've been overly focused on Clausmas or overwhelmed by the catastrophes, never fear. The day the Lord has made is still right here, just waiting for us to be still enough, long enough, to sit back and settle in and practice receiving comfort from the Prince of Peace. So let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and build our hope and trust in you. Holy Spirit, help us to hone the skill to be still and choose peace in the midst of chaos. Lord Jesus, we praise you now as the anchor of our soul and the centerpiece of our Christmas. And everybody said,
amen. Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.